On Sunday, August 3rd at 11 p.m., Shook in My Bowl presents a tribute to one of the greatest scholars of African civilizations, Dr. John Henry Clark. Join us as we hear excerpts from a presentation by Professor Greg Kamathi Carr, Associate Professor and Chair of Afro-American Studies at Howard University, as we do our part to continue this listener-supported experiment. That's Sunday, August 3rd at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. And I just came back from Lincoln Center out of doors enjoying a tribute to Pete El Conde Rodriguez. But we got to get to work now. We're going to present a tribute, a presentation by Greg Kamathi Carr, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr. And it's a tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark. But we're going to listen to some music that was used during the documentary A Great and Mighty Walk by Yusef Lateef. It's called Plum Blossom. And stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl. Stay tuned.
Save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar. My bowl.
That's right. It is Sugar in My Bowl. And as I said, coming up is this lovely song.
Thank you.
following is a presentation by Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, Associate Professor and Chair of Afro-American Studies at Howard University, at this year's Dr. John Henrik Clark Tribute, sponsored by ASCAC, Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, on July 19, 2014, at the County Cullen Library in Harlem, New York. The presentation also includes excerpts from a debate that took place between Dr. Clark and Cornel West. Dr. Carr is introduced by Sister Deborah Johnson, President of ASCAC Eastern Region.
Now he has gray hair. He used to be part of the New Jazz Scholars. They all grew up under Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Dr. Beattie also, and his wife, and there was a couple others. Dr. Carr hails us from Howard University, Africana Studies Department. He's a scholar. He's a longtime teacher and educator for ASCAC and the young people at Howard, because they don't follow him around, and they talk about him. He's serious. He works them hard. And I would not keep you any further from listening to what he has to tell us this evening. Present to you Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, First Vice President of ASCAC.
Hotel.
May I be allowed to continue?
Santi. And just so that I don't have my brother telling falsehood, I'm going to take y'all a picture because this is going on Twitter. There is no greater work than for us to build our family. That's why we're here. I want to say that I'm grateful to be here, as I know we're all grateful to be here. I came up yesterday, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. Brother Larry Crow and I have been living right around the corner yesterday and today in Dr. Clark's papers. It was a good opportunity for us to be together and do that work, continue that work. But I brought a couple of outfits to wear, and I decided to wear this because this shirt was given to me when I was at Payne College back in the fall by the John Henry Clark Historical Society out of the southern region of ASCAC. Those brothers and sisters, Augusta, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Columbia, South Carolina, children of the soil out of which Dr. Clark emerged. And I don't wear this shirt a lot. I just like to have it at the house. I'm scared to wash it. I wash it and hang it up dry. I said, rather than put on the African clothes, I'm going to put these clothes on. And I figured I would dress a little bit as well to remind us of Anderson Thompson, who was good to be a Negro, show up in some blue jeans and a T-shirt on a day like today, and talk about a man that he's very close to, who, as Mama Sybil knows, sat with and prepared Wesley Snipes to conduct, along with Brother Crow, who won't take any credit for that, and some other people in this room who probably won't as well, the interviews that led to A Great and Mighty Walk, of course, the film by St. Clair Bourne and Wesley Snipes. I'll never forget, many of you were probably in that room in Town Hall when we came up for the debut of the film. And Brother Snipes couldn't make it, and he sent Ralph Carter and Larry Fishburne to talk about what John Henry Clark meant and means to us. And that's probably what started getting Wesley Snipes in trouble. But white folks don't like when you have free Negroes creating art. So I'm going to thank the Eastern Region and the Southern Region in particular, because Dr. Clark's centenary is coming up, as we know, and we will be doing that celebration. I talked to Sister Anna Swanson a couple of days ago, and she's got a ton of the books from Dr. Clark's work, but there are so many books. Which book to pick? You know, maybe we just say all the books, which would mean that's all we'd be doing between now and this time next year's reading, and we still wouldn't be finished. Now, I want to mention a couple of things as we begin these brief remarks. Everything Dr. Clark talked about, he always put in context. Or as he would say, if you see y'all can see him now when he put his hands out like this, the latitude and the longitude of the conversation. And my brother, best friend, Mario, you know I love you. That's too much weight for me to hold. Ain't one person to hold. Talk about being the John Henry Clark of any time and space. But in terms of the genealogy, the living tradition, you know, what we did yesterday, what we did today, what we'll continue to do, folks who are local, what I hope folks will continue to do, going to the John Henry Clark papers and read and understand the full breadth or begin to understand what John Clark did and does for us. I can say, and Larry said this last night when we were leaving, and I want to say it to him publicly because I was in full agreement. I don't think that there's anybody, and I decide Makalani is here, I think about Anderson Thompson, I think about Brother Larry Williamson and Brother Larry Obdelli Williams in Atlanta, but there's nobody who captures that ability to narrate and keep facts in their head with any greater acuity, accuracy, and ability to put things in context than that brother right there, Larry Franklin Crowe. And I want to recognize him from the Midwest region. If y'all don't know who that is. And we were like pigs in slop yesterday and today. I think they probably thought we were crazy. There wasn't a document we began looking at. Larry got caught in the conversation that Dr. Clark was part of when he first came to this city in the early 30s with Willis Huggins, and the Edward Blyden Society. All those materials are over there in the papers. And so, piece by piece, the narratives have yet to be reconstructed. We have what Dr. Clark has said, but we also have what he left us in writing. And the core elements of that work remind me of him, Jacob Carruthers, Asa Hilliard, Tifalo Benga, the masters of narrative, Vivian Gordon, Marimba Ani, those who are still with us, our elders like Adelaide Sanford, the ability to capture a people in narrative and then have those people not only see themselves in history but see the possibilities is indispensable. And of course, today is the 16th anniversary of the passing, Dr. Clark, from this side, and reminded of when this portrait appeared to the community at Mega Evers at the celebration for Dr. Clark that was held there. And this portrait of Dr. Clark looking Alabama cool as he always did, Union Springs, Alabama. His brother is from a part of Alabama that produced and continues to produce great Africans right across from Columbus, Georgia, where he would move, migrate. But in that little neck of the woods, Russell County, Seal, Alabama, Lato, Alabama, that's where my mother's people are from, so I know it well. In fact, when we went down to family reunion, we went to Gethsemane Baptist Church. My mother went to John Henry Clark's initiation into eternity. You know, he had two, one right here down the block at Abyssinian, and then the one at the home place, Gethsemane Baptist Church. We went to the cemetery, and we didn't have to ask where Dr. Clark was because the cats that take care of us, oh no, come on, let me show you exactly where he is, his physical remains are. Russell County is also the place that produced the Screws family. Prince Screws' daughter, Catherine, married a guy from, I guess, Arkansas named Joe Jackson. Then they moved to Gary, Indiana, had a bunch of kids. You probably heard of the family. But this is the area that produces great people. And Dr. Clark would often tell the story of his life, and so I'm not going to get into great detail today, but what I am going to do is take a little time to have us remind ourselves of Dr. Clark's narrative, and then hopefully we will continue to remind ourselves as we get into the work of what he left us to do. The last time I was here for this ritual, some of Baba Derek's buddies that he acquired halfway around the world in the Nile Valley a few years ago were here. These are students from Howard University, two of which were working at the Schomburg as summer research associates. And they were here with ASCAP, Those young people are in some ways the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of John Henry Clark. And they have continued. As Larry and I were over there yesterday, you know, we're sitting there thinking, I wonder what Arthur Schomburg would think about this place. What would that Negro think about this place? Everybody's so professional. Everything is so well done, so nicely done. This guy collecting books. And what does an Alabamian do when he comes up out of the subway at 135th to a different world? Looking for one man because he done read a piece in a little book. So you climb those steps and he says, I'm going up there looking for Schomburg. I mean, what is in the mind of a man barely out of his teens from Alabama who didn't buy a plane ticket, who didn't catch a ride with his buddies who own cars, but who hoboed to this city with nothing except, as August Wilson says in the opening lines of Joe Turner's Come and Gone, dust and fresh hope in his pocket. What kind of, thinking about Jacob Carruthers now, who would use this word in context, which always blows your mind, temerity. What kind of guts, courage, what kind of recklessness, foolishness, but ultimately belief in the faith of a thing that he had not yet seen, but stood in absolute defiance of anybody telling him black people didn't have a history. What kind of thing motivated John Clark to leave his home, his family, the only people he ever knew, get on a train, not with a ticket, against the law, and show up in the hardest place in Western civilization to make it if you don't have anything. And from that moment to this, become not just a legend, but a living force.
Finally, I got to meet Arthur Schomburg.
Arthur Schomburg, mentor to two generations of African-American scholars. The legacy of this Puerto Rican-born historian is the world's definitive institution of its kind, Harlem's Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture.
I went down the 135th Street Library, and he was on the third floor, and I asked, very humbly, asked the librarian, do you know anybody who would give me a letter to see Arthur Schomburg? And she said very sharply, you know, impatiently, because she was short of help, you just have to walk up three flights. I walked up three flights, and there Arthur Schomburg was holding down the desk, being 18 and rash. I wanted to know the history of the African people of the world. Henceforth, right now, within the hour, his lunch hour, all of it. He said, sit down, son. What you are calling African history and Negro history are the missing pages of world history. Then he said, son, go study the history of your masters. Go study the history of the people who enslaved you and find out why they found it a necessity to remove an entire people from the respectful commentary of the history of the world. Well, my earliest impressions of them was a people in power who intended to stay in power. And I began to wonder why they had so much and other people had so little, and why everybody I knew worked harder than they. Who made this arrangement? I studied European history and world history. Now, when I went back to Schomburg with some knowledge of background of European history, now he began to show me how to study African history. Arthur Schomburg taught me the interrelationship of African history to world history.
That's preordained. That's not something that happened by accident. That's the kind of thing that captures you in a deep place and that binds us one to the other. That's the kind of thing that would send somebody like Mama Vina Baker, as you told that story a few years ago when we were in Ohio, which is why we had our conference in the Eastern Region. ASCAP came back home to the Eastern Region back in March. Remember you told us that story about how you would get off work and break your neck getting to the subway to get the first word. And you get there, and y'all know how that is. Say, y'all first world veterans. My first time there in 1989, I was in law school. I took the job at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, not because I necessarily wanted to work for them, because I know I'll be in New York that summer and I can go to first world. Breaking your neck to get there and still not have a seat when you get there. Still not have a seat. I was 145th in Congress, wasn't it? In praise of African life, the rituals, and Dr. Clark sitting there at that table, y'all can see him. And those of you who never saw him there can see him too at this moment.
Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. We were just listening to the beginning of a presentation by Dr. Greg Kamathikar, who is indeed professor of Africana Studies at Howard University. He is the associate professor and chair of Afro-American Studies at Howard University. And this tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark was presented, it was sponsored by ASCAC, which is the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And the presentation was offered last month on the 19th at the County Cullen Library in Harlem, where we are right now in the studios of City College. This is WBAI, and we need your support. For a pledge of $30, you can receive this mix of presentation by Greg Kamathikar, Dr. Greg Kamathikar, and also some, well, I included that piece, the voice of Dr. John Henry Clark from A Great and Mighty Walk, because I don't think I've heard anything better to describe his coming to the Schomburg to in search of Arturo Schomburg, the founder of Schomburg Library. And on 135th Street, still there. Well, it's not in the same building, it's around the corner. But anyway, it's on 135th Street and Malcolm X Boulevard. And what we're listening to right now in the background is African Village, Bedford-Stuyvesant 2. And it's by Randy Weston from Spirits of Our Ancestors. And, yeah, so with a pledge of $30, you can receive this CD, which I'm going to go back to very soon. But I have to let you know that by calling 212-209-2950, you can receive this CD. That is, this one CD, that is about an hour. It is an hour. It is an hour. It has been rounded out to be an hour with the sound. I've also included, it's not the greatest sound, but, you know, it's like how somebody says on another station that, you know, it's not the greatest sound, but it's important that you hear it. And so it's excerpts from a debate that happened at Ohio State, moderated by the now Dr. Greg Kamathikar. And it's a debate between Cornel West and Dr. John Henry Clark. And from what I've noticed, the title is, I think it's Pan-Africanism or assimilation. So they're sort of debating the concept of either choosing to be Pan-African or assimilating into the culture that is referred to as America, this country. 212-209-2950. So I have some excerpts from that video that it could actually be found on YouTube. But in this context, you will not hear it in this context because this is the only place that offers this. And many thanks to Dr. Greg Kamathikar because he allowed us to use this audio. Right after the presentation, I asked if I could use it to help this listener-supported experiment continue. I don't think I used that wording, but it was like, could we use it during fundraising on WBAI? And he said, sure! So, yay. Thank you so much, Dr. Carr. 212-209-2950, and that would be for a pledge of $30. As I said, I am going to go back to this, but I just wanted to let you know what this is, what you've been listening to, and what you'll be hearing more of in a few minutes. And perhaps you would like to get the ball rolling. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. And, yeah, we don't have that, apparatus of, ringing bells, but, wait a minute. Do we have our first pledge? I think we do. I think it happened now. In any event, for a pledge of $25, you can become a member of of WBAI. And for a pledge of $30, for $5 more, for a few dollars more, you can receive this premium of this presentation in tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark. So, yeah, I guess that's ours. 212-2950, that's the number to call. And I'm going to go back to this presentation so you can hear a little more about it. At the top of the hour, we'll be hearing from Hank Williams. Professor Hank Williams, he'll be presenting the bandstand on the bandstand, and that is our weekly listings of former Sugar guests. So stay tuned.
I'm not going to talk long, so I'm going to go directly to the subject. It is a subject that is older than human history. And he just go right into his conversation. You couldn't get in the place. I'm glad that Brother Adesai, Brother Yao, the Eastern region is beginning to capture that narrative. Because when First World's narrative is put out, that's going to transform so many other conversations. So what I want to do today, just very quickly, is talk a little bit about Dr. Clark's life as a connecting thread. Talk about a few of the major themes in his work. And then end with a quote from him, from his archive. And he should have the last word. As Sister Deborah said, what we have with the critical commentary there is actually with Mama Sybil's permission. And she gave us our instructions some time ago, Mario and I, in terms of ASCAP. And see, some people you just don't want to play with. You don't want to play with anybody, really. But when you get orders from Mama Sybil, it's just like a whole nother thing, right? She grabbed your hand. See, when I grew up in the Baptist church, like this man, and You know, when the deacons put that right hand of fellowship on you, you try to break your hand when you're a little boy, and then, come on, you can do better than that. Mama still has that grip. To this day, she gave it. Some of y'all, when y'all came in here, she certainly gave it to me. When you put that grip, I want you to promise me, yes, ma'am, that you are going to continue this work, that you're going to continue to build, because that's what John wanted. You know, we had this conversation with you. Now she's taking me back to Philadelphia in 1994, sitting at a table, watching a whole bunch of circus parade foolishness going on, and Dr. Clark, always cool as a cucumber. Oh, we can't get distracted with this showbiz politics. She reminded me of that conversation, and Mama Civil, I want to say that I want to thank you publicly, because what you allowed us to do in February when we had our conversation, you gave us your blessing to transcribe and annotate the last talk that Dr. Clark gave to ASCAC, the World War Against African History Since 1968. We transcribed that. That's a talk that he gave at Cobo Hall in Detroit. He gave it, in fact, March 17, 1995, the 12th ASCAC conference. We took his lecture. We thoroughly annotated it. We then sent it around for several rounds of editing, and we produced it. This is the down payment on something that we have finally gotten underway for ASCAC. The journal, the ASCAC journal, known as The Compass, after Dr. Clark, find ourselves on the map of human geography. Dr. Clark was a thinker. He was not content to allow the world to go on as it was, siphoning the labor of Africans and others in increasingly powerful modern world systems. He was determined to resist, to object, and ultimately to triumph. Clark's determination, more than any other single factor, colored the opinions of those who knew him. His reliance on the text made him common to us. Dr. Clark was able to narrate our memory because he had absorbed our memory. The central function of reading cannot be overemphasized. We live in an age where reading has been erased. Can I get it on my iPad? Can I just see a moving image? No, Dr. Clark understood the transformative power of the text. Once you have absorbed the text, then you can narrate your memory. But you cannot skip that step. And that is an apprenticed tradition. It cannot be learned in isolation. Hard work and sacrifice. The kind of hard work that Brother Larry and I saw Brother Infundishi doing yesterday with his young apprentices down there on Malcolm X. What you got these young boys doing? Learning from me. And you know you have a good apprentice when you never have to open your mouth. Willis Huggins knew he had a good apprentice when he didn't have to open his mouth when Dr. Clark gave his first talk right over there at the Harlem YMCA. Many of y'all have been down there in the basement of the Harlem Y. Larry and I went back over there yesterday. It's a pilgrimage we make to the place they call the Little Theater, where the plays went on. And when Dr. Clark would tell stories 50, 60 years later, you could understand that he had absorbed them first in Sunday school, but that he had put the content with those stories right there in the basement of the Harlem Y. You could imagine them going through those narratives. So I want to talk a little bit about the periods of Dr. Clark's life. From 1915, when he was born, and as he used to say, that people in the family still mad because women in the family say, can't nothing be done until the baby comes. So he was late getting here. January 1st, 1915. He said, they never forgave me for that. This man was disrupting from the beginning. Y'all gonna wait on me. And you're gonna be glad you did. That was John Clark. Never rushed. Always cool. Deliberate, passionate, but effective because he was never decentered by the circumstances. That's very important. Because that's what a compass serves, that function. Where am I? Okay, this point in the compass never moves. That's the only way you can orient around. Unmovable. Well, what was going on in 1915? What is the cultural moment in 1915? Well, you have the globalization of American identity. If you really think about it, 1915 is a very important year. Dr. Clark comes here. When Dr. Clark comes here, Booker T. Washington is still alive. Just think about that. As much as Dr. Clark talked about Booker T. Washington's theory of self-reliance and the 19th century, many of the heroic figures of the 19th century still walking around. including so many of our people who had gone through enslavement. How do you do that? Including members of his family, including Ma Mary, of course, what we call the family historian. When you come into a place like that, you have a sense of struggle that many people don't have. But it's also in a context where you have a country that is no longer a hemispheric power. It's going to go global. By 1915, European conflict won. 20th century, what they call world wars, that the whole world was at war, but it did change the way the world looked. But 1915, you have Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois writes something called The African Roots of the War. He says this whole struggle in Europe is about African resources. Now, you fast forward 100 years, and he could have written that article today. Clark comes onto the planet at the exact moment that this country realigns the fight between Europeans in Europe and inserts itself in the conversation, invading Haiti in 1915, consolidating its hemispheric power in 1915, and over the next 30 years, kicking the teeth in on its former master colony, England, and all the other powers of what Donald Rumsfeld called old Europe, and establishing itself as the center of hell on earth. But I ain't gotta tell y'all, because even though Washington, D.C. is where they do the politics, New York City is the center of hell on earth. This is where they make the decisions. Again, you left Alabama to come here with dust, hope, and a gleam in your eye and no money, but when you, as they say, Frank, right? You make it here, you make it anywhere. If you can capture the imagination of Africans in this space, you can literally transform the world, because the entire world revolves in the period we call modernity around this space, not London, not Paris, not The Hague, not Berlin, New York. Absolutely. Malcolm X. In fact, Larry and I were looking through. I think we found it. How many of y'all attended the African Heritage Exposition in 1959? Was anybody in this room who was there? We went through that box. We're looking through the folders. And we think we may have captured the place where Clark met Malcolm. There's a picture of the sisters and the MGTs at one of the booths for the African Heritage Exposition. And, of course, Dr. Clark used to tell that story about when he met Malcolm. There was an exposition. It was just the place where he was first called a swine eater by Malcolm X. And Malcolm said, I had to give you 99. You give up the pork, I'll give you 100. But began a relationship where Malcolm X relied on John Clark for memory. Clark said, he sent a man by the house. I need some information on this. I need a folder on this. I need some research on this. And Dr. Clark, who was the research director for the African Heritage Exposition of 1959, then he took it on the road, went to Philly, apparently. Provided that for Malcolm. So Malcolm did say that. Another farm boy, Omaha, Nebraska. Something about farm Negroes wanting to get to the city. But I guess that would apply to everybody in this room at some point generationally. And if not you, your parents or grandparents. Very few New Yorkers go back more than 3-4 generations. So Dr. Clark was in good company. So Birth of a Nation comes out in 1915. The cultural logic of Jim Crow. And here we are 100 years later, faced with the same movies being made. This is another one, Foolishness About the Exodus. Have y'all seen this new movie coming out with this new retelling of the Exodus from Egypt with the white boys walking around in Egypt and fight? Never mind the narrative itself. You know, David Welker dealt with that. But the idea that y'all gonna make another movie with white Egyptians, that Negroes are going to fill buses up from their churches and drive their congregations to and swear that this is God on earth. 100 years ago, we had better sense. In this city, in Boston, in other places, black people organized to protest Birth of a Nation. So, no. Now, I can't remember the last time that black people were organized to protest a popular film that denigrated us. Another thing about Dr. Clark is when you're fixed and you're not movable, then you don't care what people say when you tell it the way it is. Because only about 2 months after his service here in Harlem, remember they had the Million Youth Movement was down in Atlanta. That was kind of bourgeois version. They had the Million Youth March here, yes, with Brother Khaled. Yes. Right down there. On Malcolm X, had blocked out the street, not too far, ironically, from where they would eventually have Khalid Muhammad's funeral, if you remember. And Dr. Clark, who caught a lot of heat when he wrote Why I Oppose the Million Man March, said we don't have time for showbiz politics. I was talking last week with Obadeli, Larry Obadeli Williams, who said that he can remember when Khaled Muhammad met with Dr. Clark very quietly to try to get the ear of Dr. Clark to begin to work through the challenges that he felt personally after being distanced from Louis Farrakhan. But that's because Dr. Clark was an honest broker, unmovable, which is why if you remember his funeral, I remember we were sitting there thinking, if Dr. Clark decided it wasn't time for him to journey to the ancestral realm and let me double back over here and use this body a little longer and walk out, there will be a moment of shock and then a fist fight between half the Negroes in here who don't ever get along. The only thing they agree on is John Henry Clark. Cornel West, and I tell him now, and I see him, yeah, remember when you came to Dr. Clark's funeral and this white dude, y'all walked up, looked in the casket. And some of y'all know I was the moderator when Dr. Clark debated Cornel West at Ohio State. And Cornel West, this is something that a lot of people don't know, but I mean, Dr. Clark's an ancestor now. Cornel don't know this. Cornel West was coming to Ohio State anyway to talk. And at the time, this was after, you know, he began to get some national prominence. Again, New York, which he's come back to. He's down there at Union now, back to the city. The students at Ohio State called me. I was in Philly, and they said, do you think Dr. Clark will come and debate him? I said, why don't you call him? I said, but give me a second. I'll call him first. I called him. I said, Dr. Clark, this is Ohio State. This is not the Negroes that you will get on a plane, train, automobile, raggedy car, don't know how you're going to get from A to Z. They ask you how much you charge. You say, oh, come on now, just tell me where to be. No. These people got money. Y'all think about that. I hope nobody in here ever shorted John Henry Clark out of money, but we ain't going to get too deep in it because we know how that works.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's people at the funeral crying the biggest tears was the ones that had feel the most guilt. But at any rate, tell them, when they call you, you charge them. You charge them. They call, and they call me back. I say, is he coming? He said, yeah. I said, y'all gonna pay him? Yeah. What you gonna give him? He told us, what the student said, he told us, whatever you paying Cornel West, this is John Henry Clark. You know what he said. Give me half. He says the most money he ever got paid. Because that's how much money Cornel West was making at the time. That's, I mean, it's what you think about that. I couldn't be mad, just like you can't be mad at elders. I'm like, man. But my point is that in that moment, Clark brought in another generation of young people. That's a lesson you're teaching that didn't have anything with Timbuktu, didn't have anything to do with the 19th dynasty, didn't have anything to do with Ahmed Baba. And no, this is a lesson in character.
Yeah.
want to continue listening to this, and we probably will on the other side of the hour, but just to let you know, you're listening to Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My name's Joyce Jones, and in a few minutes, we're going to get ready for On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams. But we need to hear from you. We've heard from a few people. Thank you for calling 212-209-2950, pledging your support for this listener-supported experiment, which is called WBAI, which is a member of the Pacifica Foundation, the Pacifica Network of five stations. It's a network of five stations. We have WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, Texas, our flagship, what is it? KPFA in Berkeley, California, and what's the other one? KPFA and K. I was doing so well. Gosh, I have to find out what that is, and I know this too. But this is—I've had like an evening where my memory has been messing with me, so I guess I ought to check out some of those premiums that are offered to improve your memory. But you need to call and not forget this number, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. KPFA and K something else. And what you're listening to right now is African Sunrise. It's Randy Weston on piano, Dizzy Gillespie and Idris Suleiman on trumpets, Benny Powell on trombone, Talib Kibwe on alto saxophone, TK Blue, Billy Harper and Dewey Redman on tenor saxophones, Alex Blake and Jameel Nasir on basses, Idris Muhammad, who transitioned recently, is on drums, and Big Black and Azadeen Weston are on percussion. And so like I said, in a few minutes we'll be listening to On the Bandstand. But until then, I have to do my job, which is to ask for your support, your financial assistance to help keep this radio station going. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. You can go to give2wbai.org and find this premium, this tribute to Dr. John Henrik Clark, that's presented by Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr of Howard. Listen to that. That's beautiful. Listen to Benny Powell. This was probably one of his last performances, recorded performances. Randy Weston said that Benny Powell's playing, he sounded like the human voice, his trombone. He said trombone. He says that playing the trombone is the closest you can get to a human voice. And another trombonist that worked with him would be the arranger and genius Melba Liston. 212-209-2950. That is the number to call. You know, it's like Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, Dr. John Henry Clark, Randy Weston. They're folks that are actually in the community. They're in the community. They're not, you know, on a hill somewhere. They are actually in the community, and you can talk to them and talk to them about music. You can talk to them about, you know, their research. You know, Dr. Clark, people, you know, they talk about people sitting at the feet of Dr. Clark. People have spent hours learning from this man, you know, and he didn't say, get out of here, go home, I'm sick of you. You know, he just kept sharing because he was a knowledgeable man. 212-209-2950, and you can have this information in your library. And yeah, right, you will not get it anywhere else, because if you were not at that tribute at County Collin Library on July 19th, you are just... This is your opportunity to get that, to have that experience, to have the experience that we had. with some extra added sound as well from a debate that took place at Howard State University that was moderated by Dr. Greg Matica. 212-209-2950. And, yeah. And there's Randy Weston. And, yeah, I think I'm going to come back to the rest of this after the bandstand, but we do have to, well, we don't have to get ready for that right now. I just have to keep asking you to call 212-209-2950. Show your support. And as I mentioned, people have shown their support. Few people have called, but we need more people because, you know, we need all the help we can get. For a pledge of $25, you can be a member of WBAI, and you can pledge with MasterCard, Visa, American Express. You can ask that we invoice you. You know, that credit card money is, you know, or debit card money is more immediate because it's just, you know, yanked out of your account and, you know, immediately sent to us. Or you can become a WBAI buddy for a monthly pledge. It's you can become a sustaining member by being a WBAI buddy. And you can have $10 or more taken from your account. You can pledge $5. You can go to give the number to WBAI.org and pledge $5. We'll take it because it's good like that. And we're happy with what we get from you financially. 212-209-2950. You can do it that way. Or you can go to give the number to WBAI.org. And so we're going to listen to a little bit of Randy as we get ready for Randy Weston, that is. Jazzmaster, NEA Jazzmaster Randy Weston on piano as we get ready for On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Sugar Maple, Hank Williams. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the band.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for August 3rd. In this segment of the show, we bring you aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. This week's guest is Howard University professor Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr with a special on the life of Dr. John Henrik Clark. It's a fun drive show, and we'll tell you how to support radio station WBAI at the end of this segment. But we have other listings for you if you want to catch music this week. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at the Village Vanguard from August 5th to 10th. Go to villagevanguard.com for details. Saxophonist Lakeisha Benjamin has a free outdoor lunchtime concert at Newark, New Jersey's Gateway Center Plaza on August 6th. See WBGO.org and click on the event link for details. The Sun Ra Orchestra, under Marshall Allen's direction, has a free performance at Wagner Park on August 7th. See vpcparks.org. That's V as in boy, P as in Peter, C as in cash, parks.org. Guitarist Pat Metheny leads his Unity group at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark on August 8th. Go to njpac.org for details. Harpist Brandy Younger will be at Minton's in Harlem on the 10th. See MintonsHarlem.com for details. That's Minton's with an S, Harlem.com. Bassist Christian McBride appears with the Jazz House Kids at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club on August 11th. Info is available at jalc.org. Finally, drummer Bobby Sanabria has a free performance in Marcus Garvey Park on August 13th as part of the Summer Stage series. See summerstage.org for details. That's all for this week. If you miss anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog. Audio from previous shows and playlists are on the website as well. Remember, the WBAI needs your financial support. Help us stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge to WBAI. It's especially important during this summer fun drive. For a gift to the station, you can get a copy of tonight's premium with Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr's bio of the legendary Dr. John Henrik Clark. You can also support the station and our show with a pledge of as little as $5. Go to WBAI's donation site at give2, that's the number 2, WBAI.org, or click on the support WBAI link on our website, which will take you there. This is Hank Williams signing off. We'll see you next week, August 10th, both on air and online on the Bandstand.
Thank you, Hank Williams. And yes, we will be back next week. Fun driveless, as of right now. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. And I mean every word of it.
I didn't want to interrupt Dizzy Gillespie, because that's who that was on trumpet. Don't particularly want to interrupt this person as well, which is Talib Kibwe, TK Blue. But we need your help. And I gotta keep asking, because it gets quiet as far as, you know, no one showing their support. I have to get on the line and, hey, there's somebody. Thank you, somebody. Thank you. Thank you so much, somebody. See, that's a good person right there. We need more good people like this good person who pledged their support. Now, let's see. Let's see. Did he say, was it okay? No. He's anonymous, but we thank this person, this anonymous person in New Jersey. Thank you so much. We also want to thank... Who do we want to thank? Let's start right here. Yeah, come on, come on. Oh, wait a minute. You know, this is a paperless world now, so... yes, we have another shy person in Connecticut. Oh, actually... Yes. Yes, thank me by name. Thank you, Letty. Letty's in Old Greenwich, Connecticut. So thank you so much for your support, Letty. And let's see, who else do we have here? We have... Is that an anonymous person? No! It's Kenneth. Kenneth in New York, New York. Thank you, Kenneth, for your generous support. I really appreciate it, as does WBAI. And this is extremely generous of you at any time, and particularly during these times when money is not, you know, something that people have that's disposable. So thank you so much. And we can hear from more of you at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I will be going back to the recording. And you can get yourself a copy of this recording. However, you need to call 212-209-2950. Or you can go to give2wbai.org and pledge your generous support. And I'm going to rest my voice for a second. We're going to listen to the rest of Randy Weston, and then we're going to go back to the presentation by Dr. Greg Kamathikar in tribute to John Henry Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark. The mighty Dr. John Henry Clark. That's right. I think that ought to be said before Dr. John Henry Clark. Every time. It's like, the mighty Dr. John Henry Clark, you know? Anyway, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in my bowl's name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones. We're at WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned. I thought I'd interrupt that great percussion solo just to let you know that this is Big Black playing. Big Black was part of the Kinshasa, Congo performance that James Brown was a part of, which was featured in Soul Train. Soul Train, Soul Power. Stay tuned.
Said, oh, yes, I do that. Before Dr. Clark could get going good, Cornel West said, I remember when I used to sit at your feet when I was in school in New York. I mean, he tried to preempt and strike. It's on YouTube. Y'all can see. And some of y'all see. I remember when Dr. Clark, cool, said, well, if that's true, then I don't understand why you were talking yesterday, because Cornel West was there to give a talk. And he talked about all the freedom fighters and the struggle for liberation and for democracy and all that stuff that people say that don't really, what are you talking about? Brother John Brown and, you know, John Brown, of course, the white man who died for our sins. And I ain't mad at John Brown because, as you all know, if you know the history, Dr. Clark used to talk about this much, especially he gave a 10-lecture series. This is one of many that he did on the 19th century and heroic figures. And John Brown, he kind of puts him in context. But if you know the history of John Brown, you know that after John Brown was killed, along with his sons, well, two of his sons. Was it two, Larry? Two, thank you. Yeah, see, this is ASCAP, which means I ain't never got to worry about being wrong. Black people, black women, led by black women raising money, took care of John Brown's family for the rest of their lives. So it's not like we're against John Brown. But on that day when Cornel West tried to preempt the strike, then Clark said, well, why would you talk about John Brown and not mention Shields Green? Who, when John Brown went to Harper's Ferry, Shields Green being one of the black men, along with Negroes like Dangerfield Newbie, we laugh about that name. Black people have some 19th century names. What mother named her child Dangerfield? It knew that this Negro was going to end up at Harper's Ferry fighting for his liberation before he was born, apparently. But Dr. Clark said, I don't know why you would mention John Brown and not mention Shields Green, who, when faced with going to Harper's Ferry, said, I think I'll go with the old man, referring to John Brown.
One is, you would agree that there were some prophetic Christians who played a role in resisting modern slavery.
Yes, some. Some of the abolitionists were hustling on our misery, including especially the British abolitionists. I think Clarkson was real, but Wilberforce was a phony. some of the others. I agree with some.
Right, John Brown was for real.
John Brown was for real, but I don't know why. Even you would neglect Shields Green and John Brown, Black Lieutenant.
Yeah.
And they were some minor characters that did not play any major role in the John Brown affair, Harper's Ferry. Shields Green left Douglas and told nothing about John the old man.
Colonel West had nothing to say. You were in such a hurry to recognize everybody else's humanity that you leap right over yours. But again, returning to the point that I was making, Dr. Clark, born in 1915, comes into a country that is beginning to expand globally, and in facing that global expansion, what you then see is we are caught up in it as well. And we end up from 1915 to now in a narrative of Americanization that has taken away some of our best minds, that has decentered our logic and way of thinking, and that has replaced something that we had in 1915, namely a sense of community, self, and purpose. We add Africa because it's a natural extension. Replaced it with this vague notion of somehow being American or thinking we can make a little progress here and a little progress there. So Dr. Clark, between 1915 and 1933, coming up in the South, this is also the period of Marcus Garvey. We, of course, here are celebrating the centenary of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League of the World. It's all through the papers as well. Dr. Clark in a relationship to Garvey and Garveyism. In fact, it looks like Tony Martin's first publication was because of John Henry Clark. When we paid tribute to Tony at our ASCAT conference, the national conference, a couple of years ago at Howard, we talked about the fact that if you read Marcus Garvey and the Vision of Africa, Dr. Clark's book that he co-edited with Amy Jacques Garvey, the last piece in that book is by a young brother named Anthony Martin. But Tony Martin doesn't appear in the About the Contributors section, which leads me to believe that Dr. Clark got that essay from him after that book had gone to typeset and press and come back to him as editor. And he said, no, hold up, put this in. This young man here is going to be important. That's what he did. But in thinking about that then, of course, this is the period of the Garvey movement. Of course, 1916, Garvey comes to the United States. Carter Woodson has started the Journal of Negro History. Hubert Harrison is writing. 1917, he publishes The Negro and the Nation. Now, Clark never knew Hubert Harrison, but he knew Hubert Harrison's junior protege, John Glover Jackson, a South Carolinian. It's something about these Southern Negroes, Willis Huggins, Selma, Alabama. How much time I got? 5 minutes. Let me figure it out. Those Southerners become very important to him because when he gets here in 1933, Schomburg from the Deep South, Puerto Rico, well, the mid-deep South. We still got deeper South than that. We're going down into Latin America. But by the time you see Clark cleave to people like Willis Huggins and John Jackson, these are Southern people from the Southern United States who are also very clear about an emerging radicalism. And that's going to become very important. We don't have time to talk about it today, but if you go then from, what I would say, 1933 to 1940, perhaps his intellectual activist incubator, that seven-year period is very important. Let me pause here to recognize our force, the new, not only one of the founding members of the executive board, but the new chair of the Organization of Afro-American Unity, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, is just coming to the room. So let's do it. Yes, indeed. 1933 to 1940, then you see, during this period, Dr. Clark is beginning to get his intellectual legs under him. And in that process, though, you have what's going on. You have the Bolshevik Revolution, 1917, so-called Russian Revolution. You have the emergence of what becomes the so-called communist threat.
How would you define your relationship to what I'm calling radical democracy? Because in a sense in which I'm building on elements of your earlier work, and I want to know now, later, how you define your sophisticated pan-African view of the world with radical democracy.
But that kept me in trouble all the time. I had a 50-year direct relationship to the American Communist Party. I would not let them take away my African partiality, my nationalism, and I would not let them stop me from criticizing them for their contradiction. Mm-hmm. Until finally, they drove me out of the association of the party. I was never a member of the party, and yet I was closely related to many members and had no confidential information than most members. But I was never actually a member of the party. Briefly, I was a member of the Young Communist League on the Lower East Side. But I read more and did more work and defended the right of the party to exist and traveled in Russia several times. And I think the experiment in communism deserves a fair chance to exist. I think the Russians made a mess out of it and turned to capitalism. And Russia, in spite of its pretended fight against imperialism, Russia was an imperial nation, but its empire was in Europe, mostly. 40% of Russia is Oriental, and most of them are Muslim. Didn't plan to change. It was stupid to declare our nation atheistic, officially an atheist nation. Now, I think all organized religion, male chauvinist murder cults.
That's right.
I'm a young spiritual human being because all organized religion has let itself be used by foreigners, fakers, and fools to slay and slave people. And I say this is irreligious to let religion do an ungodly thing. But I don't think that Russia had the intelligence of letting these different outlying colonies keep their religion and their culture, they would have objected less to Marxism. And Russia could have kept her empire had she not tried to impose a monolithic communism on all the people within the empire, especially the Oriental section to the south. Russia is now doing what she was criticized England and the United States and the imperial powers for doing. Literally killing our own people.
By 1933, what do you see? That's a year after, and then going forward for another decade, the Scottsboro case. NAACP ain't want nothing to do with the Scottsboro boys, but there's a guy named William Patterson, who everybody should know. This man went from being the top-earning black lawyer in New York City to throwing it all, according to his friends and family, away. He used to roll with Paul Robeson, another very good friend with Dr. Clark, into struggling to be the people's lawyer. He represented the Scottsboro boys. He was outside the prison when two Italians were killed, Sacco and Vanzetti. He said, this is a man who apprenticed under Charles Young, if you can believe that. He's born in San Francisco, 1891. Y'all know Colonel Charles Young. Charles Young, of course, is an Ohio man, as Larry knows very well, a man who rode his horse from Wilberforce to Washington, D.C. to prove that he was fit for battle in World War I. And they said, no, you still can't be an active officer. Why? Because so many people die in battle, we're going to have to give you all kind of stars on your chest, so you're decommissioned. It pissed Du Bois off. That was a whole other conversation. But William Patterson emerges. Also during this period in 33 to 40, Adam Clayton Powell begins to emerge. You also see A. Philip Randolph, who becomes a staunch anti-communist by the 1950s. So when you get to that next period, 1941 to 1959 or 60, you see him begin, Dr. Clark, that is, to forge a different kind of identity.
Thank you.
All right. Just want to let you know, you are listening to Sugar My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. I'd like to thank the people who have been generous. I thank them more later. If more people call, 212-209-2950, or give us a visit at give2wbai.org on the web. Whichever works for you, that works for me. Oh, and apparently there's a hotline, a premium hotline, in case you have issues with past premiums. You can call 347-529-6664. And I'm going to give that number again, in case you have an issue with a premium. It's 347-529-6664. If you have an issue with a Sugar in My Bowl premium, you can write me at sugarinmybowl@gmail.com. Yeah. Sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl at gmail.com. And hopefully you will not have an issue, because we don't have issues. Generally, when we're offering premiums, the premiums are in the hands of the folks in the home office in Brooklyn. You know, it just works that way. And if it's not in their hand, it will be put in their hand, placed in their hand by the next day, because somebody will have been here to get the, et cetera, et cetera. But it's there. You should not have a problem. This is, just so you know, Marrakesh Blues. It is, Marrakesh Blues from Blue Moses, the only CTI release by Randy Weston. So Randy Weston is playing electric piano on this one, which, if you heard the program that we did with Randy Weston, he talks about his experience with electric pianos. What is going on there? Yeah. That CTI sound. You know that's Ron Carter on bass, right? There's usually like a cast of 1,000 or thousands on CTI recordings. And on this particular one, it includes Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Bill Cobham on drums, Ron Carter on bass, Bill Wood on, not on this recording, but he's playing bass on something else, Phil Krause, percussion, Ayeto Moreira on percussion, Ezzedine Weston on percussion, Grover Washington Jr. on tenor saxophone, Hubert Laws on flute, alto flute, bass flute. There he is right there. And, but I need you to call. You know, on a regular show, I would get all into who's doing what and why and how and when. And this is about as much as I can tell you now, because we've got work to do and we need to hear from you. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. For a pledge of $30, you can receive this audio celebration of Dr. John Henrik Clark, presented by Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, who is the associate producer, associate professor of Afro-American Studies at Howard University. And this is a presentation that was offered by ASCAC, which is, come on. You know when the stuff moves slow. That's why it doesn't pay to count on, you know, electronic stuff sometimes, because it fails. That's why I print things. And Come on, Slowpoke. There we go. So, ASCAC. See, see you. Go for a pledge of $30. You can receive the one CD that has this sound on it. ASCAC is the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And the presentation was on July 19th of this year at County Cullen Library in Harlem. In this neighborhood. But at the, at County Cullen Library, which is near the Schomburg. Right next door. Sort of attached. Around the corner. 212-209-2950 or give the number to WBAI.org. And we're going to finish here in Marrakesh Blues, and then we'll go back to the recording for a little bit. We can't play all of it, because if you want to hear all of it, you have to pledge. Get your own copy. You know, we can't do everything for you. You have to help us. You help us, we'll help you. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Should get my bowl. WBAI.org on the web.
An identity that expands beyond the South. He's got the African grounding now, also the radicalism. Then he goes into the Army, and as you all know, he knew the exact time, days, months, and years he spent in the Army. He said, I took care of my men. Quartermaster. Thank you, Baba. Took care of his men. And as he did that, Dr. Clark, I didn't mean he was a patriot any more than most black people in the Army are patriotic. Negroes are in there for a purpose. But how do you organize? How do you feed people? How do you move people? How do you do... Organizational skills, very important. And I was having this conversation with Marumba Ani recently. Perhaps caused tensions between Dr. Clark and the left, who had very deep critiques of America. But when Dr. Clark was invited to give a talk right at that Harlem Y to some black veterans, it caused some rifts and tensions with some members of the black left in this city that perhaps never healed. Because if you remember, Dr. Clark was an associate editor on a journal called Freedom Ways. The 1960s. There's a central figure in that. And then, like this, he disappears from the master list of editors. So what happened? CP wasn't a joke. You could get purged quick, except that Clark was never a member of the Communist Party. He said, I'm a Pan-Africanist, I'm a nationalist, I'm a socialist, and there are no contradictions. Meaning what? I'm not going to move.
I'm a nationalist. And I'm unapologetic about it.
Go ahead.
I'm associated with all kinds of people, and I've loved all kinds of people, and I've appreciated the help of all kinds of people. But first and foremost, and above all things, I'm devoted to the ultimate liberation of my own people.
And that raises a question of peoplehood versus nationhood. Because you see, I believe that people of African descent are distinct people and an extension of African people. And one can believe in distinct peoplehood and not infer that what follows from that is nationhood talk.
But look, you wouldn't say that to an Israeli. Historical place of origin.
That's right.
While we question and we look back.
That's right.
Black tell you how you look, but don't tell you who you are. Yes. Every people on this earth, when you judge them by their proper name, that name must reflect land, history, and culture.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You call them out of their name. There's no black land or black people. Color designation is not a land designation.
Right.
while we're the only people deprived of a land designation, Italians should be in America for five generations and never go to Italy. Ask them who he is. I said, I'm Italian. We don't say, you say he's Italian American. He said, I'm Italian. German, same thing. I'm German. And yet we shall say, I'm an Italian. I've been here quite a while, but I'm in exile, but I'm an outlaw.
I'd like to thank the shy people. Thank a couple of shy people for their generous support. And one of them is in Mount Vernon, New York. The other one is in, where are you? Oh my goodness, Tacoma, Maryland. Yay! Wow, that's pretty cool. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We generally ask folks whether they want to be thanked over the air. And that's why I generally say things like shy person. So they say, they don't say. So I call them shy person. And we are grateful for your courageous financial support. 212-209-2950 is the number to call, and give the number 2, WBAI.org. And you may wonder why I say the number 2. So, it's not GIVETWOWBAI.org. It's the number 2 on the number pad, the number at the top of your keyboard. Not the F function keys, but right below those if you have that thing going on. Just the number, 2. 2. The number after 1 and before 3. 2. Give, G-I-V-E, the number 2, WBAI.org. And thank you so much, generous peoples, for finding it. And for those who don't wish to go to their computers, they can pick up the phone, which I'm hoping is right near you and not in your closet. 212-209-2950 is that number that you would call on that line to show your financial support. We are listening to right now from Spirit, The Power of Music. This is Randy Weston, African Rhythms Quintet, and the Gnawa Master Musicians of Morocco. And what we're listening to right now is, without my glasses, let's see if I could do this. Lala Mira. Lala Mira. L-A-L-L-A-M-I-R-A. And this is part one, because there's a part two that comes on after this, but we're not going to be here for that. We need to hear from you. We need your support. We need you to call 212-209-2950. We may not be able to listen to the rest of the presentation, only because business is business, and we need to be about the business of raising financial support. Whoa! Wow. While I was talking, things were happening. Let's see. Can I thank you? No. But, generous person in Brooklyn! My former home. Brooklyn. My sister was born in Brooklyn. She's the only one of us siblings who was born in Brooklyn. My older sister, Leezer. Hi, Leezer. If you're listening, you know I love you. And, of course she knows it. She was like, you know like how older siblings are generally responsible for the younger siblings. That's her. And gosh, she still won't lay off of that. She's like, God, she's so responsible for everybody. But love you more. 212-20. Oh, wait, somebody else to thank. And we'll be thanking the shy person, another shy person in Jamaica, New York. That's Queens, Jamaica, New York. And, several of these folks are pledging for the presentation, which is beautiful. That is so great, because I always, it's like, please, you're going to want it. I know you will. And fortunately, people do. And who? First, once again, thank you, Dr. Greg Kamathikar, for saying yes to our being able to use this to offer to people to have in their homes and pledge their generous support. So thank you again for saying yes. And thank you for participating. I mean, it's almost, I guess it's your job of being in tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark. And he is missed, but he is not forgotten. So definitely not forgotten, especially in my home, because Hank, it's like sometimes I'm talking to Hank and Hank just goes into some Dr. Clark. One minute I'm talking to Hank Williams and the next second I'm talking to Dr. John Henry Clark. It just happens like that. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And give the number 2, WBAI.org. You can show your support that way, and we need you to do that as much as you are capable. And for a pledge of $30, you can get this CD, the presentation that we've been playing this evening, or shall I say had been, because I can't go back. We must go forward. Pa'lante, siempre, pa'lante. peoples, Africans. We are all, we are all African. All of we. That's what they say. 212-209-2950. And for a pledge of $30, you can get this presentation that Greg Amathikar presented as part of the SCAC tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark. And it was, took place July 19th. And just so you know, Dr. Greg Amathikar is the Associate Professor and Chair of the African Afro-American Studies at Howard University. And the tribute was sponsored by ASCAC, which is the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And the presentation took place on July 19th, last month, at County Cullen Library in Harlem. Where we are, where we is right now. But we're uptown at City College. Thank you, City College, for allowing WBAI to be here. But, oh, whoa. Make sure I do this so I'll be able to do this. Maybe I can do that. Yeah, okay. There it is.
Benny Powell, Tali Kinway, and Alex Blake, beautiful. Thank you for a very beautiful, sacred, spiritual evening together. Let's keep the real music alive.
And that's what I could say. Let's keep the real sacred words of Dr. Clark alive. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. That is the number to call in order to get this CD, this presentation, this one CD for a pledge of $30. For a pledge of $25, you can be a member of WBAI. You can be a member for a pledge of $25, and for $5 more, your generous support of $5 more, making it $30, would, you can get yourself the CD of this presentation. Why is that so quiet? Where are they? Oh, there they are. Or you can go to give2wbai.org. give2wbai.org. And La Nueva Alternativa will not be with us, will not be joining us this evening. Instead, what do they have me doing? Or what do they have somebody else doing? I guess we'll have there will be an early... What is all of that? Oh! Women, Body, and Soul. That would be, I'm laughing because people who have heard that before are going to hear it again if they are awake. Women, Body, and Soul is Natalie Tandiway presented by, actually, it's Gwen Scott presented by Natalie Tandiway, who has moved on from WBAI, but this presentation remains and it continues, and during the drive apparently people enjoy hearing it, so that's what's coming up after Sugar in My Bowl, which will be back next week with a fun drive not happening. And let's see, the guest for next week will be who will it be? It will be Ricky Vincent. Yes, he wrote the book Party Music. And it covers the Lumpin', the group, the band of the Black Panther Party. I'll give you the proper title in the promo next week. But the name of the book is Party Music. Ricky Vincent was in town this past week, and I introduced him to Reggie Johnson. Reggie was a little too busy to really meet Ricky, but that's okay. And, I just think, if people from the sister stations come out, especially KPFA, it's like, yay, welcome. Welcome. But, unfortunately, we were in fun drive mode, so, a lot of other people couldn't have him on. But, I did what I could, I guess. And so we're going to be presenting an exchange between me, Ricky Vincent, and our associate producer for Sugar My Bowl, Hank Williams. We had a nice chat last week, and so that will be the presentation for the next Sugar My Bowl. Looking forward to that. And let's see, then we have a couple of other Sundays after that. So let's see what's happening after that. Maybe, Nikki Giovanni. That's right, Nikki Giovanni. She will be our guest after Ricky Vincent. And then we will end off our time on WBAI for the month of July with Larry Ridley, the bassist and composer and all-around cool guy, Larry Ridley. And I got a real surprise during that show, courtesy of James Spalding, whose birthday was last week. Happy continued birthday. And, I haven't mentioned people who've, passed on, like Eddie Ellis and Margo. And these other folks, and I heard about somebody who transitioned today, and other people who were involved in WBAI and the life of WBAI have transitioned, and as a matter of fact, Max Schmee told me that Steve Post, somebody called earlier asking about Steve Post, if you're still listening, I heard that Steve Post did transition, and I, send my condolences to the Post family. And all of us at WBAI, this has been quite the year, huh? But stay tuned. With your help and your generous support, WBAI will still live another day. And don't forget to call 212-209-2950 or give the number to WBAI.org. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Another shy person in Philadelphia. I have to thank you. And many of these people, like I said, are pledging for the CD, which is great. And a shy person in Jersey City. So thank you so much for showing your support to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. WBAI.org on the web. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.